Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where you're always tuned in to hear something that you never, ever thought would happen related to real estate. And today I'm bringing y'all another wonderful married couple in real estate. Welcome to the show, Reed and Christy.
Hi.
Hey, Lee.
So tell the world a little bit about yourselves, how long you've been in real estate, where you're located, any of those little tiny tidbits that would give them a little hint about y'all.
So I started in real estate. I started in September of 2007. Been going at it for a little over 10 years. Started kind of at the, I was joking, tell people I started at the beginning of the end. So right before everything got bad is when I decided to jump in. So I had impeccable timing.
You're the one that made the market fall down?
No, I just, picked good timing. So I actually came straight out of college and started, gotten to work mostly in commercial real estate for most of my career, and then moved around a couple of times and wound up in one of the REMAX offices here locally, wound up and acquired me and another guy. He had his own company, so it was just the two of us. And so we kind of created their commercial division. And then since joining REMAX, had several friends and family wanting to do the residential things. So that part of my business has grown. So it's been a lot of fun. My wife has been working as a dental hygienist for 10 years. And then she kind of had a unique situation happen that wound up and kind of her into real estate a little bit sooner than what we had talked about. And I'll kind of let her kind of tell a little bit more of that story.
Yep. So I started back in August of 2016 in real estate as his assistant. But what pushed me into real estate is after being a dental hygienist for 10 years, I went into work one day and my boss, the dentist that I worked for, had been tragically killed in a motorcycle accident. So the plan all along was when the dentist retired to be able to come in and be Reed's assistant and help him out. But we thought that was going to be about 5 to 10 years down the road. Happened a lot quicker than we thought. So ended up becoming his assistant at that point, and then was kind of over a lot of the paperwork stuff and decided I wanted to sell. So I got licensed in March of last year and have been happy and doing it ever since.
So you went from putting hands in mouth to putting foot in mouth, right? Because that's a typical real estate disease.
yes, very much so.
So tell us about what it's like, first of all, Christy, to be a real estate spouse. So Reed's been doing this for 10 years. What was your biggest challenge as a real estate spouse?
Oh, well, you know, most people come up to me and say, how do you work with your spouse? I would kill them. But Reed and I do pretty good generally for the most part and getting along together. But I would say, you know, the biggest thing is a lot of the times I'm more of the decision maker at home, and now he's more of the decision maker at work. So it's kind of like flip-flopping hats back and forth all the time.
So did y'all give yourselves like written job descriptions to help reduce the opportunity for conflict?
I tried, yes. I actually came in here one day and tried to write everything down. But Reed is also a fly-by-the-seat-of-his-pants kind of person a lot of times. And so when I came in and tried organizing and writing everything down and changing up everything that he typically did, it kind of rocked both of our worlds, I think.
Oh, so his control freak nature flared up, didn't it, Reed?
Oh, yeah, that was not fun. That took some getting used to. I tell you what, though, one of the best things that we did, and this was even before she got in, was on our phones we share a calendar. So whenever we, you know, if I have an appointment or whatever, I can put it in there and she knows I've got that. And then she always puts all of our family stuff, like if we're going out to dinner with my parents or her parents or whatever we're doing, it gets put in the calendar. And so I knew if I had something on the calendar that way, well, then I've got an appointment and I'm not available to do work-related stuff. That was actually a big thing that helped us.
Is there an app that y'all use for that? Or is it just Google Calendars? Or what could our listeners try out if they wanted to copy that?
So the way we did, we just used the generic iPhone calendar that they've got, and we had our Gmail accounts to them.
Through our Gmail accounts on iPhone.
So you didn't spend any great oodles and scads of money on that. You just clicked on what you had available.
Yeah. Oh, no, the realtor's favorite, free 99.
I mean, we will spend some money, but we hate to.
True story.
That was one of the interesting things. So while it was just me selling, she was, you know, I'd be like, hey, you know, I need to spend some money on this or spend some money on that. She was like, oh, no, we don't have the money. We can't do this. You know, we can't do that. And now that she's an agent, she's like, we need to start doing this and we need to go buy this or we need to start sending these out to people.
Oh, man, it's like the zombie disease that infects people when they get too close to it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Man, there's a whole meme we could make out of that. So anyway, y'all were telling a story about a situation that cropped up with one of your clients. So tell our listeners what happened in your real estate life that you couldn't replicate and wouldn't want to.
So we were getting ready to head out to R4, which is the RE/MAX sales rally in Las Vegas. So of course, as I've learned very quickly, anytime you go out of town, everybody wants something. It never fails.
Absolutely.
So I was sitting, they are boarding the airplane. We were on Southwest, and so we were the B boarding group, and they were boarding A's, and I got a phone call from, obviously I didn't know who at the time, so I answer it, and it's an agent, and she says, I'm showing your listing, and her, like, what we joke about is her next line, it was, I don't think it's going to be a thing, but, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Famous last words.
Yes. She said, but I was showing your listing, and my buyer went to pull down the door to the attic that has the ladder attached, and I don't know how he pulled it down, but the whole ladder crashed and smashed his face. And so about that time, they call me to board the flight, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have to call you back. We will work this out, I promise, but I am getting ready to get on a plane, so I will call you as soon as my plane lands, which I did when we got back. And it actually turns out that the buyer whose face got smashed, I had also been communicating with on email. They had found it on realtor.com and had sent me a request to get into it and said their agent was out of town. And then they had said that they weren't pre-approved or anything. And so I told them that they really should work on getting in touch with their lender and then to give me a call back. And then if their agent couldn't get them in, I would. So I'd already been in touch with them through email. So the agent called me, and then the buyer called me again or emailed me again and said, basically, he had said, well, I went to the ER. You know, if you could just have your client pay my ER visit, that would be helpful because, we're trying to save for a down payment on a house. So his quote was $500 ER visit bill.
And that's then, it?
Yeah. Well, that's what he said. And then the agent, when she called, said $700. So I don't know where the wires got crossed there. But at that point in time, I kind of figured it was time for me to skedaddle out of the whole situation because it was, everybody kept telling me you're treading on thin water there legal-wise and, lawyers and all that stuff. So I actually got in touch with my seller and told him that it was probably time for him to possibly contact an attorney just to talk about it. They may be fine. I don't know. That might be all they want, but probably a good time to consult legal.
At one point, they brought up, they were going to see an ear, nose, and throat specialist and all this stuff.
Oh, yes, Lord.
So I was like, if they're doing $500, just get in writing. Like, if it's going to be $500, it's $500 and that's it. Can't come after us for anything else. Get your attorney to write that up.
Yeah. So I kind of backed out and put seller and that buyer, although it wasn't the actual buyer to the house, but I put my seller and that client in touch with each other and kind of told them to work it out that way because...
Right, because as a realtor, if you're in the middle, you wind up in the line of people getting sued if somebody gets their feelings hurt. So we sometimes have to remove ourselves from the situation. You weren't even there.
Right. I wasn't there. I didn't know. So, yeah, I told both of them, if y'all want to work it out, that's fine. Y'all probably should consult an attorney and make sure that everything is status quo on both sides. And that was pretty much it.
And it definitely falls into that category of the things that you never think about when you become a realtor. They don't talk about it when you're getting licensed is the sheer amount of liability that we carry just for waking up in the morning.
Right. Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. It still blows me away that, in our market, it's something like 90 hours is all you have to do to get licensed. And, a hairstylist is something like 1,000.
Right.
And you're talking about somebody's, most cases, their largest financial purchase, their largest financial asset. And somebody with 90 hours of training could be the person helping you through it.
Right. And calling it training is a really loose term because licensing class does not teach you anything about the day-to-day life of a realtor.
No, it really doesn't because you can't come right out of school and be able to do a transaction by yourself. There's no way.
I know it made a difference when she was going through the classes, because, you know, where she was here helping me when she wasn't in class, and, you know, it made a big difference on perspective and how you handle stuff. And she was like, people have no idea.
Right. And it's funny because you had all the practical experience, and she's probably looking at it from that regulatory angle, which is typical of somebody going through a licensing class, and you almost have to turn off the practical reality to get the license. But then when you get the license, you have to turn off that regulatory side in order to talk to people. It's crazy.
Right. Yep. Very true.
So if y'all could give one piece of advice to realtors listening to this, or to the public listening, because of course we always have people that are fascinated by real estate who listen to the podcast, what would you give them as the advice for either working with your spouse in real estate, or if you're a client working with a spouse team?
As far as the clients go, from what we have found thus far, clients actually appreciate us a lot of times working together, because chances are if one can't answer, the other can, or if one can't make an appointment, the other can, and we can just kind of interchange back and forth. So it makes us much more available and easy to get in touch with and to be able to, show properties and that type of thing. I mean, there for a while, even now, but we end up, switching off nights. Okay, you show property Monday, I'll do Tuesday. You do Wednesday, I'll do Thursday. And that's kind of how we roll to make sure that everything is covered.
You know, another thing that people have liked is, I can honestly say that we're all in on real estate and helping people buy and sell real estate. I mean, we're, both of us do this for a living. This is how we put food on the table, and, we're all in on it. We treat it like a business, and this is, this isn't just something we do for fun, or that, you see on HGTV where they're going out and negotiating their contracts. But we really like doing it, and it's something we're all in on. So it's been a lot of fun.
That is interesting, because you look at how many realtors out there approach this from a, let me see how it goes, kind of a part-time, dip their toes in the water approach. But it's not just one of y'all that's all in. It's your whole family. Y'all don't do real estate well, there's trouble brewing in the household.
Yep.
That is very true. And as far as working with the spouse goes, I mean, you just kind of have to go with the flow. But we do really well together. We don't think the same way, which is a scary thought sometimes, but we think the same way through most things. So it makes it easy.
Which means if you're somebody out there considering working with your spouse in real estate, you should probably have a really in-depth discussion before you dive in to make sure you can balance the schedules and have disagreements, because I know you have to have disagreements from time to time. That's normal.
Yes, we do have those.
I like how you laugh first and Reed is like, I ain't saying nothing.
Yeah. I'm trying to be safe.
And that's how we make it work.
All right, so if anybody is looking for an amazing real estate experience and they want to reach out to a husband-wife team, how can they get a hold of y'all?
Call or text 502-741-1391, or shoot us an email. It's Reed, R-E-E-D, at reedestategroup.com, when we handle the Louisville, Kentucky area and southern Indiana.
So, because I know you people are listening without an ink pen in your hands, don't stress out, because all their contact information will be in the show notes for this episode, so that you can reach out to them with any of your Kentucky and southern Indiana real estate needs, or if you're a realtor with questions about working with spouse, I bet you they'll be glad to give you some insight from that world as well. Reed and Christy, thank you all for coming on the podcast and for sharing your story, and stay away from pull downstairs, I guess.
Right. Thank you so much, Lee. Yeah,
thank you.
All right, if you're a broker, investor, inspector, lender, or just a general normal person who's fascinated by the crazy side of real estate, give me a shout at Lee Brown on Twitter to be included in a future episode of the podcast. Subscribe for more, and we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.